Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
They were able to change with the times, but they still sounded like the Rolling Stones. All right, day two of our Rolling Stones countdown here on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, baby.
The crowd goes wild. We are actually recording in one of those big stadiums like the Stones play.
That's right.
All the time.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
All right. And yesterday we had numbers 15, 14, and 13 from the Stones countdown based on a listener poll. Which, Patrick, you say did very well.
Yes, that was the most votes we've ever gotten in a poll, which is really gratifying. And 117 different songs were chosen.
Got at least one
really
vote.
Amazing. Got at least one vote, yeah. And at this time, I'd like to mention what Bob Peterson wrote at the top of his ballot, or at the bottom. He said, any song that I would have ranked 11 through 25 would also have been worthy of a top 10 ranking. The quality of their catalog is that amazing. And that's a good point.
It's tough. I mean, most people here at Mike Wagner's house, we're hanging out at Mike Wagner's and have a lot of friends here. Most people here filled out ballots, right?
Yeah.
And did you find it as difficult as I did? When I first went through the Rolling Stones catalog, I had like 40 to 45 songs.
Yeah.
And then there was a, you know, a series of cuts, kind of like training camp.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And then
you got to get it down to 53 today.
That's right. Okay. So should we just dive right in here to number 12 on the countdown?
Let's do it.
All right, Brown Sugar from Sticky Fingers, 1971. This song was also a number one hit in the U.S. It was recorded in Muscle Shoals.
Yes.
Like a three-day recording session, Muscle Shoals, where they laid down this and two other songs? One other song? I'm not sure.
Yeah, one and a half, probably.
Okay. But here's the interesting thing about this song. I don't know how much we want to talk about it. The Stones don't play this song anymore live.
They do not.
It's kind of sort of been... This poll aside, kind of sort of been canceled, I think. So, musically, tremendous song.
Yeah,
I think it has
absolutely
just amazing groove to it. And one of those, I distinctly remember from my childhood growing up in Toledo, there was like an ad on TV for like the AOR station, FM 104, WIOT. And the ad had like the beginning riffs of various songs. And this was, of course, was one of them, right? Because it just fits right in with like Back in Black or whatever. You know what I mean? It has like... just this instant riff to kick off the song that you just recognize.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing that session was between the end of the tour. So they had just finished a long 69 tour, their first tour in like 3 years or whatever. And they had 3 days, like you said, staying at the Squalidae Inn, as Keith called it, and then going to Muscle Shoals. And to, you know, not have really these songs prepared. It was just more like... Keith went in another room and worked on a couple of riffs he had in his mind, brought them back out, and you know, Mick started writing the lyrics. It's kind of amazing. Scott Isom's comment on this one is interesting, Jim. He says, the Stones scared the crap out of parents. All you have to do is listen to Brown Sugar. So it's amazing if the parents were terrified of the Stones, yet the song was still number one. We kind of know who was buying the records, you know, at that point. So I thought that was kind of an interesting comment.
Any comments on this song from the gallery? Probably not. Okay. We'll move on to number 11. right, Beast of Burden, 1978, off the Some Girls album. This went to number 8 in the U.S. I did not have this on my top 10. In fact, it wasn't even one of the ones I first considered, but it's interesting. This speaks to the depth of the Stones catalog and the, you know, sort of greatness of their work, that when I hear it now, I'm like, that's a really good song.
Yeah.
For many other bands, this would be like their best song.
They ever did,
you know?
And you know, this, I think this is a really great Charlie Watts performance. And Charlie is amazing on these mid-tempo songs.
Yeah.
Like, you think about it, and most mid-tempo songs by bands would be like, well, this is the one where I'll just tap along in 4/4 time and, you know, not be too flashy and take away the sensitive other parts.
But the wedding band kind of style,
God.
Right? But no, not that's
the
not
way
what
he plays is just unreal. It's just fascinating. It really is.
All right, we have Tim Hoffman.
This was in my top 10, and this is probably of all the songs that have played so far, featured so far this week, this is the first one that I picked, I think, in my top 10. And the others, I love them all, but they never felt like they were mine. Like, they belonged to everyone in the world, and I heard them a zillion times. But this record came out in 78, and I think this was when I really, like, started getting into the Stones, because I'm like, this album is new, it's fresh music, it was on the radio, and I was a teenager, sophomore in high school, something like that. And I dug this song from the very first time I heard it. And like you said, Charlie Watts on the drum, just like that second beat there, like where he just comes in, boom, pop, boom, pop, boom, like that. Like, I could not help playing along to that, like, you know, in the car or wherever I was listening to that song. And this song felt more kind. I don't know what the word is. Like, I was always kind of freaked out by the Stones when I was a kid, because, like, Sympathy for the Devil, I'm like, oh my God, is this song going to corrupt me if I listen to it?
And you probably had older brothers that were playing those Stones songs,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. So, and this is another reason why, like, I wasn't, like, the Stones were not for me, because one of my older brothers already claimed them. So I'm like, I cannot be into the Stones. But when this album, Some Girls came out, like, the whole album was like, this is something we could all agree, like, this is a freaking great album. I love this whole record. And this song stands out to me as, like, this and one other song in particular that I picked.
You know,
my favorites.
I totally agree with you about this being the Stones, like, for real, and it's, like, new, but that didn't happen to me until Tattoo U came out a few years later. But I was like, wait a minute, this band is still around, and this is their new album? Like, I have to deal with this.
I do think there's something to be said for a song like this, for this group. This was something we could appreciate in real time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, as opposed to other ones, which are a little bit more like,
like,
I gotta
look back and try to, like, enjoy this and, like, and be like, you know, a vanguard of, like, taking up this, you know, at school, like the Rolling Stones are the number one, you know, but, like, if I'm going back 5, 10, 15 years to pick out a song, like, that's one thing, but to have a song that was, like, just released on the radio, we've got the album at home, and it's new, like, then it's really, really easy to go to bat for it.
Well said.
Mike Snyder has to come up here because he's wearing a Some Girls t-shirt.
It is a cool t-shirt.
And I think you did an episode about Some Girls as a guest episode once for this podcast.
That's right.
With Brett.
I totally forgot all about everything I said there, so I hope I didn't say anything bad.
That's okay. I don't remember any of the previous episodes that I've ever recorded.
I don't listen to anything with Snyder on it.
By the way, a quick update on that football game. The Jayhawks missed a field goal attempt, so it's still 7-0.
Okay.
Day two of the game. It's the epic game.
That's right.
The power went out. The lights went out. They had to wait.
They forgot how to play football. They had to
turn them back on.
Okay.
All right. I still believe in the Cyclones. But
so anyway. I don't want to say the same thing Tim said, but I mean, I'm in, you know, this was the first Stones album I bought in real time. You know, At that point, I had won a Stones single at a fair when I was in fourth grade at our school.
Oh, wow.
And I won a single, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, by throwing darts or something. So that was my first Stones ownership. And then somewhere along the way, I won, what's that terrible, it's not terrible, but it's like a toss-away album with the butterflies on it or whatever.
Metamorphosis.
I got, and Metamorphosis.
That's
was
a good
the first
record.
Album.
That's
but
not
at the
terrible.
Time, I didn't know what it was. You know, at the time, I couldn't understand what was going on, you know. So, Some Girls is still, it depends on the day. But I mean, that, you know, Sticky Fingers, Exile, depend on the day. Those are my favorite albums. I mean, so, and I had this song in my top 10, and I think it was a great song. I think it was a great album. And they found a way to be relevant and take pieces of disco, take pieces of punk and new wave and kind of make it their own. That's what I think they did.
And I love the album cover, too. I think it's one of their strongest album
it's
covers.
It's one of the greatest album covers ever.
Much better than the Hackney Diamonds album.
Oh, yeah. I mean... But yeah, with the cutouts of the famous people, they got sued over it.
Yeah,
I think Lucille
they did.
Ball.
Yeah, Lucille
upset.
Ball. That was it.
But yeah, it's so creative, right?
Love it.
It's amazing.
Love it.
I want to touch on one thing Mike said that I've always really appreciated about the Rolling Stones was that, you know, for a band that started off very sort of traditional, doing blues covers, stuff like that, they were able to change with the times, but they still sounded like the Rolling Stones. And I think that's quite an accomplishment to pull off.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else on Beast of Burden? All right. This is a good one. Number 10. Monkey Man off of Let It Bleed, 1969.
Yeah.
There's applause for that song.
Yeah.
There's no way in my mind that could not be in a top 10.
Right. It was on
Stones.
Your ballot.
It was on my ballot. Absolutely. Love it. I mean, I just love like the opening, the way it opens with the piano and everything. I love the guitar riff that just drives the whole song. I think Mick's singing is just so passionate and, you know, just, I don't know, kind of. He just sounds like a rock singer in that song. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally.
Just love it. I love everything about that song. And, well, I'll get to this in a minute. Go ahead.
This is one where I would be a smart ass if people were listening to records at my house. I probably did this to Brad at one point. I would turn it all the way to the right. You know, the speakers are all the way to the left, so you could hear the extreme separation in this song, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
But Mike Wagner, if you wouldn't mind coming up, I'm going to read a something that Mike put on his ballot about Monkey Man. Mike chose Monkey Man, and he said, "The greatest start to any song ever is the piano intro to Monkey Man."
Yes. I stand by. I will fight you over that statement.
I'm not going to fight you.
Just kidding. Yeah. Nicky Hopkins.
There you go. I mentioned him earlier. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I love this song. This is like, and it's been in every Martin Scorsese movie as well.
We need to talk about that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was even in The Last Waltz. I think he put it in there as well. Yeah.
I was going to ask if anybody saw any helicopters overhead, you know.
But I like your later you say Nicky Hopkins really introduced a new musicality to the band, and I think that's a great phrase. He did.
I mean, I think he came in, well, I don't know if I made the list, but she comes in, she's like a rainbow. That piano bit is just
amazing.
Fantastic. I mean, whether you that makes the list or not, which it should have. Something we actually we went out the other night. We were talking about this. It's like the Stones were kind of more than they were kind of a traveling gypsy show more than they were. Like you know, there was like there was all these sort of people who sort of came in and out, and then Nicky Hopkins was around this whole era, like from up until like I think he was kind of gone after It's Only Rock and Roll because he plays on a couple songs on there. But yeah, I mean he made. Every song he played on, he just took. Also, I think he's a trivia question. I think this is right. Who's the only person who played with the Beatles, the Stones, and the Who?
Nicky Hopkins.
I think it's Nicky Hopkins. Yeah, I think you might be right about that. I don't think there's anybody else. I was thinking about it one time. Yeah. But anyway, the break at the end. Well, not the break, but the interlude where it's just like Keith's playing both guitars on here.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure that's right. And then he's like these piano bits that like come back and forth between the guitar and the piano. It's just that middle section is just when I listen to it, everybody on the streets listens to it.
I like
absolutely,
that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike, very much. I do want to highlight a couple ballots through the week. There's a couple I picked out that I thought were interesting, and I wanted to read out Hunter Bennett's ballot because if you're really tall, really cool, and you play bass in a really cool indie rock trio, this is what you put down for your Stones ballot. So he's got Rocks Off, he's got Ride On Baby, he's got Stray Cat Blues from Beggar's Banquet, he's got the song 100 Years Ago, which I actually had to look up to find out where it was, and now I don't remember. He's got the song Connection, which is a tremendous sort of early, right before mid-period Stone song. Yep, Between the Buttons, right over there. Gimme Shelter is on his ballot. Sway, which is really a cool deep cut from the Stones. Star Star, Memory Motel, and Waiting on a Friend. That's a pretty cool ballot.
Yeah, I don't know. Monkey Man's great. Also, I want to mention this was also another one that was not a single, though.
Right.
So this is a deep cut. That's the second so far on this countdown.
Correct.
Was not released as a single. Any other thoughts here? Anybody? Okay.
We may proceed.
We're into the top 10 now, and that means tomorrow we'll still be in the top 10.
That's right. Yeah. We're not going anywhere.
Okay. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
I'm going to bed.
Who's the only person who played with the Beatles, the Stones, and the Who?
Mike Snyder.